Oh, sorry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Round 12 roundup stream. Great to be here. Having a great old time. Love Supercoach. I love it. Hope you all had a good week. Seeing some big scores in the chat. Let me tell you one thing. You are not seeing a big score from me. This is one of those weeks where you just need to just log off the app, speak to your friends and your family, call a few people, just move on and come back 4 p.m. Tuesday to do it all over again. Think that's just how we got to play it. It's how we've got to do it this week, I think. But look, all jokes aside, I've got a smile on my face because honestly, I had a lot of fun putting this meme together. So don't feel too bad for me. I'm seeing good scores in the chat. I'm seeing. Firstly, let's say hello to people joining me on your Sunday evening. Give the stream a like as well if you want to see some pain this week or this next hour or so. Macapaka, Clone Commander, Jay Ski, Heatwave, Matthew Sherwood as always, Cameron Shots, Jackson Tarpany, if that's how you pronounce it, I'm not sure. Jackson Carter, it's Toko. Thank you all for tuning in this week. So I'm seeing people ask for pass scores. To be honest, I haven't had time yet to do like my normal averages, but I mean, based on some of the scores that I'm seeing, I'd say 1250 minimum probably is about the pass score. I'm seeing a lot of 1200s around the mid 1200s, a few scores in the 1300s. There's actually someone in the Podmasters who's gone 1500 plus. So I'm looking at like 1250 probably is about par, right? Your boy here scored 1138. What an absolute mare. An absolute nightmare. Now this is unbelievable. Nothing went right this week. Reserves didn't work out. I don't even remember what my trades were, but they probably, yeah, that's right. Billy Smith, obviously that didn't work out. Although I figure a lot of people would have played him. Tipping comp went great. I think I went 2 out of 8 this week. Amazing. Yeah, I think everyone who went big, I think everyone who went big that I owned, everyone else owned, so it didn't make a difference. So basically, anyone who I didn't have, or anyone I had who was a little bit of a pod or a little bit of a different player, it just didn't work out for me. Anyway, we'll go through all the games and all that whatnot, and we'll get this bloody meme off the screen. Although this team doesn't really look that much better, I'm gonna give you guys a couple of minutes of just how things went down in the team this week, and look, we'll crack on and we'll get on to some more questions and going through the games and stuff. But I'm going to use this as a bit of a little therapy session, I think, just this little next 5 minutes. So we'll go from the top down. Harry Grant, obviously, look, he's very highly owned. So him going low 34, I'm not too mad about because, look, a lot of people own him. So you're all in the same boat. Reid Marnie, what the hell? 19 points. Are you absolutely kidding me? He was on about 5 points at halftime. Well, he went off for a HIA. I'm just like, well, obviously, look, he got dudded a couple of penalties as well, the whole Tino forearm thing. But still, can you tackle a bit more, Reid? That'd be nice. If you can get some attacking stats, that would be appreciated too. I was looking at a Titans matchup thinking, maybe not so highly owned. Maybe get a try assist or two, that might be good. If you can scamper over for a try, if you can give me something, even a 40-20, I don't know what you can give me. Give me something more than 19 points. Not great. Front row forwards, meh. Very meh. And actually, since I've traded out Stefano last week, he's gone 50 and 78, which is just fantastic. But look, we won't harp too much more on about Stefano. But look, Joe Tarpany, 50 points in a game that wasn't really conducive for, through the middle. I'll take 50 points. Christian Welch and Gilbert, just meh. Just meh. And then Gilbert now is pretty much cemented state of origin. He might have been already, but with Kaufusi getting 3 weeks suspension, I think because of his swinging arm. Gilbert's a lock for Origin, so that's another round 13 player down the toilet. Look, Fifita's just doing Fifita things, but everyone owns him, so it's irrelevant. Look, Preston and Hosking, I'll take 60 and 53. We're fine with that. Schuster getting 105. Look, I was never considering playing Schuster, so I'll accept 105 points on the bench. Look, it's okay. At least he's going to make some money, finally, and he'll be hopefully available for us next week. Funnily enough, my trades were actually supposed to be Matt Drury out for Harrison Edwards. I completely forgot to do it. So instead, I did Pele to Edwards. So I was actually really upset that, not upset, but like, when Andrew Davey got injured, Ryan Madison got injured, I thought, oh no, Drury might have a chance to come back and I've sold him in round 13. Turns out I actually didn't end up selling him. So he might be there for me next week. Howarth is nothing. Hines and Cleary look pretty stock standard, I think. Nothing to do there. My boy Dylan Brown, he was the only good thing that came for me this week. I was very happy with 113 points from him. So, yeah, I was happy with 113 from Dillbags. Very, very nicely done there. Johnston was fine with 83. Look, Mazu 50 when his team scored 6 points is fine. Same with Val Holmes. Like, the Tigers completely demolished the Cowboys. And honestly, I'm not a Tigers fan, but I'm very happy to see them. I think their fan base as well being able to be a little bit happy about their result. That was a great result for them. And you know what? Actually, because I don't want to be fully down the whole stream, that last try that the West Tigers scored was probably one of the best things I have seen in years. And like, I'm a sucker for an outside-inside play. You know, the whole classic Cam Smith to Kronk, inside to Slater. I love that stuff. Absolutely love it. So seeing the Tigers go, was it Coruscant inside, across the face to Brooks, back inside for Buller, setting up the try for Bateman, I was just like, oh my God, this is actually amazing. I love that. That was my favorite piece of play all season long, I reckon. That was a joy to watch. But and that's classic Tim Sheen stuff, I guess, isn't it? But look, Val's okay. Billy Smith, of course, the week everyone traded him in, he did nothing. I thought it was a good matchup for the Roosters against the Dragons, so I figured, yep, we'll play Billy Smith, no worries. Penrith versus Broncos could be a tight match. Nah, let's not play Taruva. 78 points, that's okay. We'll deal with that. Well, not really. Didn't deal with that too well. But Ruben Garrick, 107 is great. Classic, he scored a try, got some, was missing a few goal kicks, but look, did very well this game, so good stuff from him. The fullbacks, absolutely terrible. In a week where, look, Latrell didn't do well this week, only 41 points, but look, people who held on to Teddy, 100 plus for him. People who held on to Turbo, 100 plus for him. Clint Gutherson, what, Eel scored how many points? They scored 36 points. Gets me 25 points, and I'm thinking, Gutho, can you give me, you and Reid Marnie, you and the ex-Eel Reid Marnie absolutely killed me this week. Bookending the team, awful and awful, 25 points. And of course it meant I left the Dream Buller, as Supercoach Guns has coined him now, 124 points on the bench, which is great. I was kind of 50-50 between Buller and Gilbert, to be honest. So that's why he hurt the most. He hurt the most out of the non-player reserves. Because Taruva and Schuster, yes, would have been nice, but I was never really seriously considering them. But Buller, that one hurt a lot. Especially seeing Gutherson go 25. I was just like, painful. Anyway, at least the only good thing about round 13 is that half our players are not playing, so the chances of getting bench points is non-existent. So the pain is just much less. So that's one good thing I'm looking forward to this week, and I'm holding on to that for round 13. All right, that's my team kind of therapy session over. I guess while I'm on my team, before maybe I start going through games and stuff, I am thinking about obviously who I want to trade out for next week and who I want to trade in potentially. Look, I'm happy with Buller, like in the sense that, look, I'm glad that I traded him in, what it was a couple of weeks ago now. He's looking really good. The Tigers are in a good moment. He's got a pretty Supercoach friendly game too. So look, he'll definitely make some good coin. And the Tigers do play, I think, round 16. So he'll obviously be handy buy coverage for that week as well. But in terms of the trade outs, I've probably narrowed it down to maybe, there's about four or five players who I think I've probably got at the moment as trade outs. So most of them are the Origin contingent. So one is Harry Grant, could even be Reid Marnie, but I think now with Reid Marnie going so low, I feel like his value is going to plummet. And the fact that he covers round 16 and round 19 makes me think, maybe I just keep him, but hopefully don't have to rely on playing him each week. So maybe Grant to like a Jeremy Marshall King is one, or Reece Robson I might be looking at. One of Welch or Gilbert I think 100% will go, because I feel like both of them. Oh, it's still displaying the meme. Oh my God, what's going on here? Sorry. One second here. What is going on? Display capture. Window capture. Is that better? Oh my God, sorry. This whole time I've been ranting about my team and you've just been seeing the Stephen A. Smith meme. Oh, that's great stuff. That is unreal. Of course I was going to do that. Anyway, I'm not going to go through everything again, but basically you can now see my team, hopefully. Yeah, you can see I'm not in the most clarity of mind, I guess you can say it. But look, I think in terms of the trade outs that I'm looking at, it will probably be one of Welch or Gilbert, because I believe both will be off for State of Origin now. Maybe Grant, although he's not that bad for holding during the Origin period, but he might go for Marshall King. Valholmes, I think, will definitely go. Probably for another centre wing, or maybe via Jack Howarth to a second row forward. And then I think potentially Hines. So it looks like it's been rumoured that Hines will be picked for game one set of origin for New South Wales. Looks as though he's going to be playing on the number 14 position, though, not in a not in the 5-8 spot. So obviously that means that in terms of being able to back up and stuff, he won't be playing a lot of minutes. So, but Sharks don't have a great schedule for origin stars because they also miss... So if you, I'm assuming Hines plays all three games at number 14, he'll miss round 13, 16, and 19. But the Sharks also do have a bye in round 17. And the two games that they have in round 14 and 15 are against Broncos and Melbourne. Not the easiest matchups. So I think there is potentially a window to maybe sell Hines. It's a scary thought because, look, he's 930K. And you do need to try to get... You will have to get back to him, obviously, come round 20. But I think there's a lot that we can do with that money. I'm looking at someone like Cody Walker, who updated to 110. He's definitely someone who I think I will maybe look to target. And I can use Katoa via his duels to maybe get Cody Walker in for next week. So that is something that I have also toyed with. So I think to sum up, the ones who I'll be looking to trade out would be Holmes, Hines, Welch, Gilbert, and Grant. And maybe if there's anything else that pops up. But I think I've got I've got two boosts left, so there's probably a good chance I will be boosting next week. And so I think, those are four or five players I'm looking at maybe potentially trading out as well. But if we will in Tuesday, once we've got the full Origin squads that we should be getting Monday morning, so tomorrow morning, we'll definitely go through a full run through of who are the players in Origin, like who are the Origin guns for Supercoach who we can maybe look to hold on to, and maybe who are the ones who are easier sells, and we'll break it down in terms of, you know, what games could they play, how many total points could they score over that period of time. So I've already started kind of working on that, so hopefully that should be very helpful. But we'll get more into that, I think, on the Tuesday stream once we know exactly what the Origin teams are looking like. But we'll kind of go through the games. I have not been able to watch every game this week, just had a couple of like small events on and everything. But hopefully we'll be able to still deep dive into most of the good stuff. So I think we'll try to just go through game by game, but of course we'll try to also just answer your questions throughout as well. Actually, I'll pause here because I feel like I've just been going on a rant for the last 10-15 minutes. So we'll see how the masses have gone, and we'll shout out a few big scores if we have seen them. So we're seeing, I'm seeing a 14.90 from Jackson. That is great. 14.43 from another Jackson. It's a good week for the Jacksons, both going big. 1400 plus definitely on the cards with some of the players who went really big this week. Like I think the Teddy and Turbo holders would have been profiting the most from this week, because I think a lot of people have obviously sold them over the last few weeks. Also very unlucky for people who bought Burbo this week, bench Vojvic. Now, when Edwards was actually benched earlier today, I was seriously thinking I would have wished I had gone to Burbo, but Edwards still pumped out like a 40, and I think he actually still played relatively good minutes. Burbo unfortunately picked up a hamstring injury. NRL Physio has already tweeted about it, and he said it's about maybe 1 to 2 week, but it looks as though he might not be available for round 13. This is the worst situation. Same thing happens with Ryan Madison as well, and this is always, it's something I've tried to be a little bit more conscious of this season, but I probably still haven't quite perfected it. Just trying to optimize, like when you trade in round 13 guys, it's a very difficult thing to do, but you know, being able to, if you can afford to wait that week, just so that you know in round 13, if they're all good to go, you can trade them in. You can just avoid these scenarios. Like I'm not disparaging people who went early on the guys like Burbo and even Madison, for example. Like it's pretty unlucky, right? Like you just can't predict that kind of thing. It's something that I'll probably also be mindful of. I think we still obviously have lots of buys coming up in round 16, 19, but also the weeks like 14, 17, and 20, which are going to be weeks where we've got, I think, three teams on a buy each week. So we'll go through kind of some of the games. I think wasn't too much to take out of the Broncos-Panthers game. Some of the officiating this whole weekend has been pretty awful, but I feel like we're seeing the same thing every week. Like just that thing with Reid Meinie getting put on report for a tackle that looked completely just innocuous. It was just an awkward tackle. What happened with Tino? He got put on report, I think, for that potentially dangerous throw tackle, but then also didn't get anything for that forearm, I guess, that sent Reid Meinie to the HIA. So, look, I don't want to harp too much more about refereeing decisions, but Yeah, so I guess in terms of the Panthers-Broncos game, I think the big shout-out here from the Broncos was really Pat Carrigan. Like, he just had an enormous game. I think he's in the top three in terms of base stats, I think, scored by any player in Supercoach, is something that I read. Like, he made 62 tackles, which is insane. He's just warming up for Origin, isn't he, for sure. 59 points in tackles, 10 points in offloads. 4 points in the tackle bus, so we're already looking at, what, 70-plus points there, plus, well, actually, has he updated? 59 plus 3, 62 plus 26 is, what, 88 points in base stats, not even including base power. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, 88 points in base, like, is, yeah, unbelievable. So, probably not the most Supercoach relevant. I think a lot of people have moved off of Pat Carrigan since the start of the season, but I guess it just shows, like, the man is he's a freak. That forward pack at the Broncos is just unreal with Payne Haas and Carrigan. Carrigan obviously playing the full 80 minutes, but not good enough, I guess, for the Panthers. The Panthers are definitely starting to click, and I think we're just seeing it with the Panthers, right? It's just the defense. The defense is just carrying them at the moment the last few weeks. Like, even, like, they bombed a few tries as well. So 15-4, but really it's not reflective, I guess, of the performance. Panthers were definitely the better team by far. Cleary just kind of look. I know Moses did well this week, but the people who have done that Cleary to Moses move, look, it hasn't worked out so far. With Moses obviously having that HIA affected game and missing a game, Cleary's done really well in that time. But I guess now with Moses doing well, that might be encouraging for any Moses owners that you can now maybe look to hold him through this Origin period. But look, Cleary's, I guess, given the way that Cleary's kind of outperformed Hines, I feel like majority of people, if they are looking to sell one of Hines Cleary, I feel most people would go to Hines in terms of selling him. He's also, I think, more expensive than Cleary. And yeah, I think I think that's probably the value, but also I think the draw is a little bit better for Cleary during this whole Origin schedule. Tool process, who are the must-haves for round 13? Like, we'll definitely cover that for sure in the Tuesday stream. But if I were to rattle off a few names who I do think are probably going to be must-haves for round 13, I would probably say one of Dylan Brown, Cody Walker. I think you definitely need at least one of the two. I think getting two, though, seems to be the play if you're looking to sell Hines. Ruben Garrick, I think, is going to be another one of the front row forwards, like maybe a Tohu, Joe Tarpany, if not both of them. I think they're probably going to be up there. Second row forward doesn't have a lot of players at the moment that I can think of, but the way that Hopgood is going, and with all those injuries now in the forwards, I think Hopgood, if he doesn't get picked for Origin, which I don't expect him to, I think he'll be starting to get up there. Hopgood is a bit of a difficult one because you just need to balance round 14. But if you can manage round 14, I think Hopgood is probably going to be pretty close to a must-have for next week because he's also going to be very highly owned as well. You kind of want to think about the players who a lot of people maybe have sold but were very high ownership to kind of in the run up until round 13. So those are a few names that I can think of that are probably going to be, I think, close to must-haves. So there's probably a core set of maybe 7 to 8. And I think the other 5 that you have might be comprised of some cheapies like the Josh Schusters and stuff like that. Maybe Dragons players as well, like a Jack Bird, DeBellin, but I don't think I would say them as much must-have, I guess, as some of the others. But someone like Cody, AJ, like you can kind of think about, I think you want to target the teams who are going to have the best matchups in each of those weeks. And I think those kind of players that I mentioned have those potential to go high or would be highly owned, I guess. I guess there's not really much more to touch on from the Panthers. I guess anyone who's held Taruva to this point, I think you've started to, you know, reap some of the benefits of holding on to him. So obviously I didn't play him, but look, I'll take the 78 points on the bench. He should hopefully start making some money. Especially when the likes of Ice went early on selling Khan Pereira and Warbrick, and both of those have actually still made money since I've sold them. So it's kind of nice that I've been able to get Taruva at least still in my team just to make some more cash as well. So happy with that. Dylan Edwards for a fullback, I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing more and more of him. I mean, with the performance that Teddy had, look, and even without that performance, I think Teddy was still going to be the number one for New South Wales, but Edwards was definitely kind of doing the best that he could to try to maybe get that position, but I imagine that he was not going to get a run at the spot. So I haven't really gone too far into like who I'd be looking at fullbacks for round 13. I already own Clint Gutherson, but Edwards maybe for 16-19 if the Panthers cover those weeks, I can't remember, but I'm pretty interested in him as well. He's definitely upped his game this season too. Scott Sorensen going to be 750k. Yeah, he's going to be skyrocketing price as well after another 68 as well. Hosking, I guess, was the big question mark coming into this week. So I did hear on the Rugby League Guru podcast, one of his podcasts at least anyway, he had some inkling or some word that Hosking was going to play around the 60 to 65 minutes, and he basically played 62 minutes, so he pretty much met that. And it sounded like the expectation was that Hosking is going to be relied on heavily during this whole Origin period, but they wanted to make sure they manage his minutes in the weeks coming up to it, because they're conscious that Liam Martin likely to be selected for Origin. And I think someone like Hosking, I think a lot of people will be moving him off this week just to maybe get to, like, say, a Tohu Harris, for example. And I think if that's your move, I don't hate it. But I think with some of the language that I'm hearing, Panthers draw is not too bad. We know he can get attacking stats too every now and then. I don't mind Hosking as a hold. But look, if I need to sell him to get to, say, like a Hopgood or someone else who comes out maybe as a round 13 must, I would probably be happy to move off, because he's doing fine, but he's not kind of, you know, ripping up trees, I guess, if you want to call it that. Don't know if there's anything much more to touch on this week, apart from maybe Sonny Luke not really playing that many minutes again. I know people were keen on Cody Nikorima, and he obviously did very well, scored 100+, so I think price difference is going to get even more. Actually, someone who I'm interested in is Jacob Little, which we'll see in the next game. I actually have no idea what he scored, but I'll be interested to see Jacob Little's minutes, because he was actually at a decent price, and he could be someone that you might look to move on Sonny Luke to if you can't stretch up to your really expensive dummy halves. So Jacob Little played 54 minutes, so I might just pivot to that next game as well. And in 54 minutes, he scored 33 points. Okay. Not fantastic. So probably not maybe the showing that you'd want to have seen to maybe jump onto him. If he'd scored about the 50, you probably maybe would be a little bit more interested, but maybe not at 33. But yeah, Roosters, I mean, obviously pretty crazy end to the game. As a Roosters fan, not fantastic. Lost both the tip and also the game as well. But look, Teddy obviously coming back with a pretty good performance. But yeah, just the Roosters overall, just still not working out. I have actually, what you probably will see from this coming week is I'm going to readjust again the team ratings that I use, you know, all the color shading and stuff. Mini spoiler, the Roosters have been knocked down in my like little power rankings, I guess you'd call it. And I am also going to try, if the stats are available from NRL Supercoach stats, I'm going to try to use the Supercoach points conceded as a metric for difficulty, because that's ultimately, I guess, what we're interested in. And I think it's useful because we look at the West Tigers, and even before they've had this 3-game stretch of winning games, they weren't conceding many points to opposition teams. So I think it might be more useful from now on to maybe look at that a little bit more. Little did come off with a HIA. Okay, I may have missed that. I had to take my dog to the vet during this match, so I was only able to kind of partially watch it. Don't worry, the dog is okay. He's doing just fine. Okay, so I missed that Little had a HIA. So we probably don't have a full read, I guess, of how the minutes were going to be managed. But yeah, look, 54 minutes. If he was due to play that 65 minutes, then look, maybe he would have got up to about the 40-ish mark. But even then, probably maybe still not enough for you to trade him in, when I think the dummy half position, maybe it's better to go to like a Robson or a Jeremy Marshall King or something like that as well. Yes, I guess from the Roosters, obviously they don't cover round 13. Most people probably would be interested in the Billy Smiths and the Joey Manus. We'll see in the wash, I guess, when it comes back to round 14, if Manu is fit. And also depends on what happens with Teddy, because if he doesn't back up, then that means Manu could be at fullback, where we know that he is definitely a much more relevant type of Supercoach option. So I think for now, for this week, probably not much to look at with the Roosters. The Dragons will attract some interest. I guess this was the first game under the new coach, and DeBellin still did play big minutes. He played 80 minutes, and he was named at prop. So look, 64 points and 80 isn't the greatest PPM, but we have sometimes seen this when players, if they know they're playing big minutes, they kind of manage themselves through the game. So if DeBellin is continuing to play the big minutes, he is fairly expensive now. I think he's north of 650k, but it probably would mean that if you've jumped on him, you're probably still looking at maybe a mid-60s average from JDB. And if you haven't got him yet, and let's say you already own Tohu and Tarpany, and let's say, for example, Corey Horsburgh is actually named for Origin, because, you know, few of the middle, you know, Josh Popoli is ruled himself out of Origin now. Kafusi's probably going to be, well, I think it sounds like he is confirmed to be suspended. Maybe someone like Corey gets in there, and maybe you're looking for another front row forward. I think Jabellin probably, at least on one game sample size under the new coach, will, looks like he's still going to be playing these big minutes. We didn't get another game of sample size from Jack Bird. He was out for this game. But I guess anyone who held on to Ben Murdoch-Masila, I think I mentioned I would rather trade Moali to than Ben Murdoch-Masila to Edwards, purely just because he would cover round 13. And look, if he gets you 50 in round 13, you would absolutely take that after what he's been dishing up for the first 12 weeks of the season instead. So, and he played 80 minutes on the edge as well. What breeds my dog? He's a beagle. I can maybe find you. I can find you a picture and show it on the stream if you'd like instead, because he's downstairs. I'm pretty sure he's sleeping right now. So let me see. Anyway, while I find a photo of the dog to show you guys, I think there's probably not much more to really touch on in this game. I don't think there's a lot of relevant Dragons players. Next game though is definitely relevant. Rabbitohs and Eels, both of these teams play in round 13. So, and obviously with the two teams that we would consider probably higher quality. I'm surprised that the Eels won this game, if I'm being completely honest. I tipped the Rabbitohs and I was pretty confident in it. I think a lot of people probably were, given that it was Indigenous round and, you know, the likes of Cody, Latrell, Alex Johnson, they normally step up. Which, to be honest, Cody Walker and Johnson did step up and Latrell had his moments, but the Eels just had a really good game, and they managed, even having, you know, they managed to do well even without Davey and Madison as well for part of the game. Really unfortunate for Madison owners though, because he was on for a good score. Like, he had gotten a try assist, but only ended up playing, let me see here, he only played 36 minutes. He was on about 64 after 36 minutes, and yeah, and he ended up on 64 as well. But I guess the story out of this week is Beagle is not a real dog. What are you talking about? How can you say a beagle is not a real dog? Nah, James, I cannot accept this. Not a real dog? What are you talking about? At least he's not like one of those. Look, I personally don't love those really, really small dogs. I prefer a slightly bigger dog. Beagle's obviously not the biggest dog, but look, it's big enough. There you go. Here's a nice selfie with me and my dog. You can see if, let me see if this works. There you go. There he is, me and the doggy. There you go. Anyway, that's and you're telling me he's not a real dog. I'm not having that. Not having that. but yeah, I guess out of this game, I'm pretty tempted by Cody Walker. And look, I'm expecting massive red arrows. I was 8,000 coming into this week, so it's not even like I was sitting on a good rank. I'm going to be plummeting. I would be highly surprised if I'm within the top 10,000 after this round. I'm expecting to be like 15,000, if I'm being honest. So I'm thinking, look, it's already like halfway point of the season, round 13. I need to probably try and make some moves maybe to get back up the rankings if I want to. And I do have probably, I have the two boosts left as well. So I am thinking of maybe just going Hines to Cody Walker via Katoa, because I do think Cody looks on it. Who do the Rabbitohs play in round 13? I think they play a decent opponent. Let me just quickly put up the draw. It is Canberra. So it's Canberra at home. So look, Canberra like have been on a good moment, but they had 40 plus points put against them by the Manly Sea Eagles. Shout out as well to Savs from the Supercoach Experience. He actually mentioned on his podcast that the Manly are like a Manly Sea Eagles are actually like a bit of a bogey team for the Raiders. And I didn't really kind of read much into it, to be honest. I was like, oh, Manly not playing well, surely not. And then they just absolutely pummeled the Raiders at home. Playing away from home as well. So even more impressive. What I like about Cody is that it's the Raiders in round 13, but then round 14 is the Titans and round 15 is the Dragons. I just think it's a good little run of games there for the Rabbitohs. So I already own Alex Johnson for that reason with the good games coming up. But I like getting Cody. Cody's been doing very well too. So I'm pretty keen on Walker. I think I will. There's a good chance I'll be going Hines to Walker if I feel like I need to maybe make some bolder moves to maybe potentially try to get myself back up in the rankings, because I'm going to be plummeting this week. But as I touched on before, I do think one of Dillbags or Cody is almost a must-have for round 13. Dillbags is looking back to his best. He had a great game. He scored a try at the end, set up one, but he had a try contribution for the other as well. Just, again, always just has really good base stats, like 23 points in tackles, plus the 17 points in runs. That's 40 points just in purely with base stats from Dillbag. So you know that you're going to get always pretty solid scores out of him, but just had a few off, like lots of offloads, a line break assist. So just all around really good game from him. And I guess Mitchell Moses is going to be someone who people are going to be interested in still after coming off 130. He had a really good game, 4 try assists. A couple of them did come towards the back end of the game, so they were maybe quote unquote a little bit easier. But obviously goal kicks, that really does help him. So like, I mean, that is something to think about, I guess, if you are in the camp of selling one of Hines Cleary. You know, if you do own, let's say, Katoa, you can go to a 5'8", or you can maybe go to a halfback. I would prefer to go in Dilbags over Moses, just because I think you can park Dilbags pretty much for the rest of the season, whereas I think eventually Moses would be another trade back out when you need to go back to Hines or Cleary. Quick shout out as well to, sorry, I missed it earlier, to Viking King. He's been a member for 2 months. Really, really appreciate that. And to Lee Carlson, thank you so much for becoming a member. Lots of members now in the chat, which is great to see, mainly because of our good friend Tom J, who just gifted about 1,000 memberships, I think, in a stream about a few weeks ago. Yeah, so Saw Eric, you're saying Hines to SJ. That is one of the players who I will also consider if you're looking for a halfback. But we'll probably dig that more. We'll dig more into that for sure on the Tuesday stream, because what I'm planning on doing is a full kind of deep dive into the potential games that each player will play over this whole round 13 to round 20 period. We'll look at like an expectation of points based on their current average and stuff. And the good thing with SJ is that Warriors between round 13 and 20, they play 7 games, compared to some of, like, let's say a Dilbags and a Moses and the Parramatta Eels, they play 6 games because Parramatta have got the bye in round 14. It's the only thing really to be conscious of with the Eels is that they do miss round 14, and you just need to be mindful of that so that you're not stacking too heavily on their team. Otherwise, you're going to leave yourself short, because Manly also don't play in round 14, and I imagine people will be buying the likes of a Garrick, people have Schuster, and the Knights also have the bye. So any Marzu or Miller owners will be looking pretty bad that week. Although you can probably look to trade out your Knights players in round 14, because the draw does toughen up a little bit. But we'll get onto that a little bit more maybe when you get to the Knights game. But yeah, Hopgood looking unreal. Anyone who went Cartwright over Drury is just continuing to absolutely kill it, because you know, Cartwright scored another try, and he looks good for minutes now as well with this Davey injury. Madison looks to be out. I think physio was reporting that it was a calf injury, and a typical period could be 3 to 6 weeks. Even three weeks, Madison would be out round 13 and 14. So look, he probably becomes a very easy sell. Hopgood could be one of the better replacements, or maybe a Tohu if you don't own him and you can stack Tohu in your 2RF. But yeah, really impressive performance from the Eels. A couple of players who have been impressive over the last few weeks. One is Bailey Simonson, or Simonson, however you pronounce it. He's had a little sneaky little run. He scored 71 points this week. And the 2 weeks previous to this, I think he's had pretty good scores as well. Yeah, 77 and a 63. So he's got a pretty decent 3-round average. So he's a fairly busy player. I think a lot of us owned him, if it wasn't last year, it was the year before when he was at the Raiders. So yeah, he's someone maybe to shout out, as well as Will Penasini. Penasini has had a pretty good start to the season as well. 66 points, which did include a try as well. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the team list is for the Eels, because with this Madison and Andrew Davey injury, maybe there's minutes for Wim Gregg. He scored 58 points. I have a feeling he played pretty decent minutes. He played 50 minutes when typically he's been averaging like 20 to 25. He's a cheapy front row forward, so maybe he is an option as a downgrade in round 13 as well. And Gutherson and Sivo, two of the underperformers, I'm just going to stick with Gutherson because, look, I bought him for round 13 coverage, so he's not going to change for me. They do play all the major bye weeks, and Parramatta do have the Bulldogs in round 15, and then maybe a weakened Manly in round 16 when Turbo is, I expect, not going to be playing. I expect him to be playing Origin. So Gutherson for me could just be like a semi-reluctant hold because there's no other real fullbacks. I mean, in round 14, maybe I can look to reassess and look, maybe I go to like a Reece Walsh, but I get, if I can go through round 14, then Gutherson becomes a pretty easy hold, I think, during the bye period. But yeah, he will lose a stack of cash. So I think if you are looking for fullback, he may still be a good option. I don't think it'd be normal for him every week where he will score 36 points and he got no attacking stats or like try assists and stuff. He's normally a very, very involved player. So I'm hoping that this is just an outlier. Latrell, Cam Murray, we'll probably touch on. I mean, Murray, I think for sure is an easy sell for any holders out there. With round 13, I expect him to be playing Origin and have his minutes managed, with the Rabbitohs in a pretty good position on the ladder. So Murray, to me, seems an easy sell. Tevita Totola, I know someone a couple of weeks ago was pretty keen on him and kept messaging me on Twitter about it. But he's gone back-to-back 50s, so fairly solid if you're looking for a round 13 front row forward maybe as an option. But outside of that, like Campbell Graham, I'm not so sure, because I've been reading reports that Josh Adokar is potentially now an option to come back in as well. So who knows what's going to happen with Campbell Graham. I think Campbell Graham would be in Origin, but remains to be seen. If Campbell Graham does not play Origin and he's available round 13, he becomes one of the, like, for example, like Val Holmes to him could be like a really nice trade that you could do as well. I think that's probably it from this game. We'll probably move over to Sharks Knights. There was a question from Juangu Suarez saying, is Mazu a sell? I mean, look, I won't be selling Mazu this week. Obviously, it's round 13, but round 14, I may look to reassess, because with the Knights run, they've got the bye in round 14. Then it's the Broncos. It's the Dolphins. Sorry, I'm getting all over the shop. It is the Broncos away in round 15. They do play in round 16, which is the Roosters at home. So this is a Roosters team that have not been crash hot. They're playing at home. No Teddy in that team as well. And then it's Penrith in round 17, Bulldogs round 18 before a bye in round 19. Like, he's not the worst hold, because Mazu does have pretty good base stats. Like, he scored 49 points on the weekend, pretty much like in tackle bus. Like, the man was just bumping off tackles. 49 points. Yeah, 22 points in tackle bus. So good signs in that sense. But look, I think he probably will be one where, say, in round 14, he could be a very easy switch to the likes of a Kiraz from the Bulldogs, because Kiraz is coming in nice and cheap and scored a try again today. And the Bulldogs cover round 16 and also cover round 19. So, you know, Mazu to Kiraz is an option. Mazu to one of these Sharks outside backs as well, like, Mulatalo again on the score sheet. Connor Tracy is just, whenever Connor Tracy plays, he's such a good quality player, but unfortunately with Talakai there, he just can't get a look in. So I think Mazu will eventually probably be not a hard sell, but I can see definitely someone looking to move off him in round 14, if you especially want to manage your round 14 team as well. Hines has downdated to 71, pretty quiet game from him, but I guess that shows Hines in a quiet game. 71 points. He did have a try disallowed, but no actual major attacking stats, just forced dropouts, tackles, goal kicks to 71. That's what we know Hines can do. And he'll be obviously one of the bigger talking points coming into this week. He will be losing some cash with 149 break even, but he will still be like just short of 900k probably when lockout happens. And he'll be hard to sell, but I can see the value potentially in selling him as well. Aside from that, Sharks don't cover round 13, so it's probably not too much to talk about for them at this point in time. Pretty easy, I guess, overall performance for them against the Knights. Lachie Miller did not look good on the weekend, 35 points. And I think when Ponga's in the team, I think it seems pretty clear that Ponga takes charge, and Ponga had another good game. So maybe next week when Miller has no Ponga, I expect Ponga to be playing fullback for Queensland. Maybe Miller does a little bit better. But I think with that draw coming up, he doesn't scream like a buy to me. But maybe in your fullback spot, maybe for a Teddy and Turbo owner, I think Turbo and Teddy are both easy sells next week, just given the Origin kind of, and you know, Teddy's more likely to back up than Turbo in my opinion, but they do miss quite a few games, and it might be the play just to go from Turbo or Teddy down to a center wing, maybe like a Miller, but maybe someone like a Garrick could also be just a very easy replacement if you haven't got him already. If Freddie doesn't pick Campbell Graham, he's an idiot. The way Campbell Graham's been playing, you would hope that he does get somewhere in that squad. Like, he definitely deserves it, I think, in my opinion. Probably, I think that's it really from the Sharks Knights game. Probably not too much to touch on there. Tigers Cowboys, I mean, this game was just, I know I have a few friends who are Tigers fans because I live around the area, and so it's kind of nice to see them being happy again. Because for like years and years, it's just been demoralizing, I think, being a fan. And Luke Brooks as well had a really great performance. I mean, they had six players score 100 plus. Someone earlier in the chat was saying, so we're all buying Stafford Toll this week. Well, not this week, because the Tigers have the bye. But look, round 14 onwards, they're going to be, you know, players to consider, because the Tigers are just looking much better. Round 14, is Canberra Raiders, 15 is the Titans, 16 is Melbourne, then it's a bye in round 17. So it's not the best run, especially that round 17 bye. It's a little bit awkward because, again, round 17 is the week after the second State of Origin game where you're going to be dealing with players getting rested, etc. But after round 17, the Tigers don't have a bye for the rest of the season. So they become, at that point, you know, very easy to go for. You've got the Cowboys in round 18, which is, you know, they've scored 60 against them this week. Then it's the Sharks, but then it's the Knights, Dragons, and really not too many tougher matchups, apart from the Rabbitohs in round 22. It's not looking too bad for the Tigers. So I think definitely after round 17 will be a lot of investment in them. That's still obviously quite a few weeks away. But very happy to own Dream the Dream Buller. Unfortunately, I didn't play him, but like I'm happy to have him. I did have a thought to sell him. When I first bought him a couple of weeks ago, initially I thought maybe I could just buy him, maybe get a few cash rises out of him, and then maybe sell him in round 13. But with 124, you're going to have a very low break-even again. It doesn't make sense now, I think, to sell him in round 13. So I think I'll be looking to hold him still through the origin period. Apart from that, I mean, Junior Tupou a fair few weeks ago was getting popular. He had a pretty good game, getting 109 points. John Bateman has scored a try at the death, which, as I said at the beginning of the stream, that was one of my favorite players that I've seen in years. Like, honestly, you guys don't understand how much I love an outside-inside player. Just, oh, it makes me feel a certain way, nice and warm and fuzzy. But so he's done very well, actually. He's had a few good scores. So he's definitely someone I think that will be on the radar for sure in round 14. Bit of a down game from IPAP. I know a few people are looking at him, but lower game from him. I still haven't seen quite enough from him. Bateman seems to just get more of the attacking stats. So he seems to look like the better option. It would just be interesting to see what happens, I guess, through this whole origin period. But yeah, obviously for the Tigers fans, a great result for them. Cowboys, on the other hand, they're going through a spiral of misery, I think, which makes me feel even worse as a Roosters fan, knowing that they lost to the Cowboys a few weeks ago. Anyway, Valholm still managed to get 52 points, even despite him not getting really any major attacking stats, just mainly goal kicks and then base. So there's a question from Junghui again. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Is Holmes a sell? Holmes, to me, is a definite sell. I think he's just going to miss too many games through this whole origin period, and I think there's just too many good options in the centre wing or even the second or forward via duels that you can just look to move him to. So if you have a look at the Cowboys, so Val Holmes will miss round 13 because of origin. Round 14, I think they've got a two-day turnaround. I can double-check that. But I believe it's a two or three-day turnaround, and then it's the Melbourne Storm, so not great. Then he misses round 15 because of a bye, misses round 16 because of origin. Round 17, if he backs up, it's the Rabbitohs. He's got the Tigers at home in round 18, but then he misses again round 19, round 20 potentially backing up. Like, to me, even the games that he's back for, they're not the easiest games on paper. So for me, Holmes feels like a very easy sell, maybe one you want to go back to at the end of the season. But yeah, for me, Val Holmes is definitely, I think, going to be a trade out for me. His current price is, he's going to hold value at 620k. So I can probably go Val Holmes to Tohu via duels in one move. So that's something I've thought about. I can see Val Holmes to Hopgood being very popular via duels. I can see Holmes to Garrick, if people don't know Garrick. I can see that being extremely popular. But yeah, for me, Holmes feels like a very easy sell. Credit to Drinkwater, he's actually probably maybe somewhat still of an option, because despite the Cowboys not doing good, he's still pulling out decent scores. He's got a three-round average of about 60, it's about 57. They're not great, but you've got like 100 plus, you've got a 75. So he has had some good scores. I guess the concern is just like, do you want to be investing in the Cowboys at this stage? They're just, you know, they're going to be without their origin players as well. They're going to be without Ruben Cotter, I expect. They're going to be without Val Holmes. So we just, how much better they're going to get, well, who knows. So it does feel a bit hard dipping into someone like a Drinkwater at the fullback spot. But maybe if you wanted to go with a little bit more of a pod, he has shown an ability to still get good scores despite his team not doing very well. Other players, so Helam Lukey, so I was somewhat keen on him, I think, on the Tuesday stream, but I didn't really ever comment it again, I think, like on social media and stuff. But that news with Luciano Leilua being back and being available for this weekend just kind of turned me off him altogether. And he played 50 minutes. Leilua played 60 minutes. So straight away, Leilua came back and played pretty good minutes. Jack Gazeski was the player who got dropped out of the starting 13. I think Leilua was named to start in the final team list. I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember. Sorry. But yeah, Gazeski only played... Well, Gazeski played 50 minutes. Luki played 50 minutes. Leilua played 60 minutes. So they kind of share the minutes. I think when they're all sharing minutes like that, it makes it a little bit hard to invest. So yeah, for me, Luki at the moment, probably still not a trade-in. I guess other players from the Cowboys, Robson. Robson will be popular. 43 points, no major attacking stats. But I think, strictly speaking, in the hooker department, if you are looking to sell Grant or just, you know, upgrade Sonny Luke and say you're going for a Robson Marshall King for round 13, I definitely prefer Marshall King, even despite his higher price tag. I just think the Dolphins... Oh, look, I mean, the Dolphins will be without Felice Kaufusi, but Marshall King, I think, has just shown me more so far this year. That makes me think that I feel more comfortable trading him in. And so I feel a bit more comfortable going with a Marshall King than a Reece Robson. So that's probably something that I would maybe just I'll give my opinion on, I guess, because Robson and the Cowboys just kind of stuttering in attack without the origin stars. I wonder how many more attacking stats he'll get. He really needed them last season to get the average that he got. So does Marshall King. To be fair, neither of them are major base stat players, but I just feel like the Dolphins are probably going to be maybe a bit more equipped to get score points than say without without their origin players compared to say like Reece Robson. But I am interested to see the origin team because I believe it's been rumored that Hamiso is going to play on the wing for the Queensland Maroons. I wonder what that's going to do to their attack. Now that we're speaking about the Dolphins, we may as well move on to that match, which is the Dolphins Storm. But yeah, Isako, I can see, I think someone else said, someone mentioned Isako, I think it was, I can't see who it was exactly, but someone did mention, is Isako an option? Again, this is another player that you can look to move Val to. So you've got options is basically what I'm saying. Scored a double, 97 points, lots of tackle busts, couple of line breaks as well with his tries. Nikurima making me look like a fool because I wasn't too keen on him. But yeah, for me, Nikurima still looks pretty good, got a pretty handy duel, and it seems as though he's got that spot. Weird game though, like the Storm kind of let the Dolphins back in the latter half of the game, and it just wasn't a game really for the likes of Grant to get the attacking stats. The game was kind of being played more through Meany and Jerome Hughes. Not really much for Grant to do in this game apart from dishing it. So not ideal. Part of me is still tempted to hold Grant through this origin period because if he's just minute sharing with Ben Hunt, Melbourne don't have that bad of a rest schedule during this whole origin period. So there's a chance that he still is worthwhile to keep because he plays enough games, but we'll go through that again in a bit more detail. So Grant, just based on some of the numbers that I've looked at, he's not a must sell, but I can see the appeal to go for like a Marshall King, for example, in round 13, and maybe you look to buy Grant back. And the thing with Grant is that now that he's got this 34 at a price tag of 696k with a break even of 82, he'll be down to about 640-650k. He's at a price that it doesn't feel too hard to be able to buy him back. It's a different story with someone like a Nico Hines where you're selling a 900k. And let's say he doesn't. Let's say he only drops to say 750, 800k. That's still a lot of money that you're gonna have to try to fork up to get back to Hines. It's not the same situation with Grant. It's a little bit easier to move to him. So I can see the appeal in holding him, but also I think the fact that his value is not so high makes it a bit easier to get back to him as well. So Grant's definitely someone I think I'm. Look, it would have been harder to sell him if he scored like 100. I'm definitely impacted, of course, by how much he scored in the last most recent game. If he scored like 100, it would have been very difficult to look to sell him. But with a low score, knowing that he's going to go down a bit more in price, maybe it makes it a little bit easier to make that decision to move off him. Christian Welch, just doing what he does, the plotter, 46 points. Eli Katoa, really good game, 90 points, but he only played 54 minutes. I think Mudcrab, you may have mentioned earlier in the stream that he had maybe picked up an injury. So this game I wasn't able to watch. I've only been able to watch half of the replay of the highlights of it, sorry. So I've not yet got to that point where Katoa has picked up an injury. But I did check on NRL.com and I saw that he only played 53 minutes, which is a little bit different. He normally is an 80-minute back row for them. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure I'll give a listen to NRL Physio's Matic Sponge podcast and see what is the update on Katoa. But Katoa, at his price, let's say if it's not a serious injury, if he's back around 14, at his price tag, you know, he might be 500K. He could be a very appealing trade-in because he's looked good all season. He had a couple of down weeks when a lot of people moved off him, but he may have come back into our thinking. And the Storm's bye schedule is not too bad, I think. So they don't play 13 or 19, but they will play 16. 16 is handy. It's against the Tigers, but he's just a good solid option. So I think he's definitely someone who's worth looking at from round 14 onwards. Okay, I think that's probably it from the Storm Dolphins game. So I thought I tipped the Storm, and I checked my app, and I actually had tipped the Dolphins. But I forgot to change it later in the week. So that was another tip I got wrong. I think I went 2 from 8 from tips this week. I had an awful week of tipping. The only teams that I tipped correctly were Panthers and Sharks. See, now looking at that Tigers-Cowboys game, I'm surprised that I tipped the Cowboys given how poor they were going. But it was Leichhardt Oval, and I think I seem to remember that Tigers have had a bad record at Leichhardt. So I kind of thought, nah, we'll give it to the Cowboys. But got the Dragons wrong, got the Rabbitohs wrong, got Tigers wrong, got Dolphins wrong, I tipped the Titans, got that wrong, and I tipped Raiders, got that wrong. So I had a bad week on the tips. Okay, so I think we'll quickly wrap up today's games, Bulldogs and Titans. I mean, Bulldogs-Titans wasn't the best game on paper. It was kind of all Titans first half and then all Bulldogs second half. But pretty exciting finish, I guess, at the end there with Ockenbaugh getting that late try, sealing the win for the Dogs. I was kind of happy to see the Bulldogs win, to be honest. Well, I prefer that they won, just not great for my tipping. But Preston, 60 points, very solid. Fifita just doing Fifita things. Kind of back to that 2021 moment where he just ran over the top of like 3 or 4 players and just like, it was like boys against men. Men against boys type things where he just steamrolled a few players. But he has been an absolute weapon for Supercoach. He's another one who I think a lot of people have a think about whether they want to sell Fifita. He will be over 900K, 898K, scoring 114 with a break even of 66. Now, again, he's someone who I'm very interested to see what happens with him and his minutes. But if he is, let's say if he didn't, because the starting back role was, I thought, would have been Capewell and Kafusi. Kafusi's not going to be there anymore. So maybe they go Tom Gilbert on an edge, or maybe they just put Fifita to start on the edge as well. If Fifita, say, plays 40, 50 minutes, for me, he's probably an easy hold, I think, during this Origin period, because I think he's that type of player that the Titans will need him. The way that he's playing, even if he played 50, 60 minutes for the Titans when he backs up, that's probably still enough for him to get 55 to 60, which for me just makes it feel like at his price tag, if I sold him and I had to get back to him in a position where I don't think the replacements are going, there's no 2RF that is like Fifita. Same thing with Cleary and Hines, but at least if you sell Cleary or Hines to like a 5-8 like Cody, you know that player's got like some ceiling. There's no 2RF really who's got as consistent of a ceiling as Fifita. Fifita for me feels like a pretty easy hold, especially at his price tag. We'll have a quick look at the buys. But the Titans, I've actually got this up on another screen somewhere. Let me see. You know what? Let's quickly, here we go. This is the screen that I wanted to try to get to. So hopefully you guys can, let me quickly see if I can show you guys this. 1 second. If I can. Okay, so I've just brought up on screen the whole Origin rest periods that I showed, not last week, but 2 weeks ago. So looking at it for the Titans, I think they're pretty decent in terms of the amount of days of rest that they get after each Origin game. So the Titans have a 2-day backup where they play on the Saturday after game one. Then it's 3 days where they play on the Sunday, both in round 17 and also in round 20. So I think the fact that Fifita, if he's an interchange or only plays 50 minutes, a 3-day turnaround I think is fairly, it's comfortable enough maybe to think that Fifita will back up and play 50, 60 minutes. So I think the rest period and schedule for the Titans is pretty decent for Origin players. So I'm kind of thinking for me, Fifita is probably going to be a hold, I think, during this whole period. And I think, that's kind of my thoughts, I guess, on Fifita during this whole little Origin schedule. Let me sorry. Trying to get back up to the Supercoach screen. My having some random tech issues today for some reason. Cool. All right, we're back there. But yeah, I guess Bulldogs and Titans neither play round 13, so I don't think there's a lot to really touch on more. Only thing is, I guess, is that Reid Marnie, who I ranted about at the beginning of the stream, is going to bottom out a lot in price. And look, he plays round 16 and 19, but yeah, if I could sell him over Grant, I'd probably sell him instead, if I could. But I'm a bit on tilt at the moment, so I might not be quite feeling the same way on Tuesday as well. All right, last game, Raiders Manly, and then we'll probably take about 5-10 minutes of Q&A, and then we'll probably wrap it up there, and I'll head off my dinner, and I'll watch something else, not NRL, because I think it's kind of one of those ones where I've been wanting to... Sorry, what am I even saying? It's one of those weeks where I'm just like, look, bad week of Supercoach, it is what it is, brush it off, move on to next week. It doesn't stop me coming up here and talking about it, because to be honest, I hope you guys enjoy that if I've had a bit of pain and it gives you some entertainment value at the very least. But look, Seagulls very impressive today. Raiders didn't really show up at all, to be honest. Turbo obviously was a star, scoring the hat-trick. I think that puts to bed any rumours or question marks about him not playing Origin. I'm sure he had a chat with Freddie probably prior to the game and said, look, I'm ready. We're all kind of doubting it, and then gets 141 Supercoach points, although I'm sure Freddie's not looking at Supercoach points, just watching the game. But Turbo was very impressive. Garrick is going up a lot in price if you haven't jumped on him already. He had a break-even of 5 coming into this week. This probably was the cheapest he's going to be, I would expect. So he'll go to like 650K, I suspect. But even at 650K, I think Garrick is still going to be a very good buy. I know he doesn't play round 14, but it's one of those weeks where I think Garrick is going to get very highly owned. And I think if you don't own him, it will hurt. So he's one of those players away to the Knights. Especially if he's at fullback as well this week, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Manly do, because when Tom hasn't been playing early this season, they've had KO weeks in his place instead. But I think Garrick was much better. Like, Garrick was so good when he was playing at fullback for them last season. I would think that he would be back there again. I'd hope so anyway, because he was quite good from a Supercoach standpoint when playing at fullback. So hopefully that's the case. If so, that probably makes him even more appealing, because we know he's goal kicking as well. Manly will be without Cherry Evans and Turbo, so they're probably not going to be the prime attacking team that we saw today. But they're a good enough team, hopefully, that they can maybe still score some decent points against the Knights in round 13. Schuster, very happy with 105. I never really seriously considered playing him, but he did look to that kind of classic, pass out the back. That whole left side combination looked really good with Schuster, Turbo, and then Garrick. So hopefully that continues moving forward. I think Schuster, if you don't own Schuster, I know he's obviously very popular, but he's 270k with a 36 break even, so even next week he'll be like low 300k's, but he will start making money now that he's got this 105, and he will be available round 13. So hopefully he's someone that you can kind of cover him in round 14, but he'll be someone that I think will be an option for you to trade in as well this week if you don't own him already. But I think a lot of us owners, this is what I was hopeful for. Ever since I bought him, he's been doing nothing. He's been injured in and out of the team. I just wanted him to be back for round 13 and give us like 50 points, and then I can move him on. Now that he's gone 105, I probably won't move him on straight away, given that there's probably going to be some money to be made out of him as well, but very happy with that. Taniela Paseka is another round 13 front row forward who I probably haven't really spoken about as much compared to the likes of DeBellin, Tohu, Tarpany, but he's been pretty solid, kind of getting around the mid-50s to 60s. Again, 64 today, so solid score out of him. Aside from that, I guess the other big talking point is Ben Trbojevic. Only the 9 points, and he had a break-even of 3, so anyone who jumped on him, he's not even going to make a lot of money, and it looks like he's going to be out for round 13, so that is a killer. That is definitely a killer. So I do feel for people who went early on Burbo. Don't think you did anything wrong-wise in your decision-making. It's just pretty unlucky that he sustained that injury. So especially this week when Edwards was benched, I was very much looking to try to get Burbo, but I couldn't do it with my duels, so I had to settle for Edwards. we didn't actually speak about Edwards before, but he knocked out 40, and he played pretty decent minutes, actually, even up coming off the bench. So I think he's probably still going to be okay for hopefully a few more weeks, just to make us some money, maybe give us some coverage in the bye rounds. Yeah, Dylan Edwards, that's the fullback. Harrison Edwards played 63 minutes off the bench. So his minutes were still good, even though he was off the bench. Although, I don't think him coming off the bench did any favors for the Dogs. I think they probably should have just needed him from the start. Jared Croker, 35 points. Look, I think most people will be holding him for round 13 and then probably going to sell him in round 14. I suspect he's probably near capped in money-making. Tarpany with the 50, Hallsborough with the 56. There's still options, for sure, to cover your round 13 front row forward, but it wasn't the best week for middle forwards, I guess, given that they were going to get they got absolutely smashed by the Sea Eagles. So it was a very attack-focused game, not a lot of game, I guess, played through the middle. Right, that probably wraps up, I think, most of my thoughts. I mean, Olakuatu, look, he was definitely in prime position to get an Origin jersey, but I think his form over the last 4 to 6 weeks has just not really been enough. And I think others have, Liam Martin coming back obviously pushes, you know, doesn't help Olakuatu. Hudson Young has been good. I think there's going to be some others who are going to be ranking ahead of him. I guess, sorry, the other thing that I probably should mention with Manly very quickly is with Gerbo in the team, they're just so much better of a team. So I expect Gerbo to be named for New South Wales. So Manly might not be as strong if we're looking at them in terms of assessing their difficulty during this whole period of buys and origins. But that's just another thing I wanted to kind of call out as well. Someone's asking, what did I score? I scored 1,138. Even 100 extra points would probably still get me below par. So it's just one of those weeks where it's like, just, it's a write-off for me. We'll move on and hopefully make some good moves moving forward. And we'll try, look, if I'm going to, my ranking will be really bad, but I'm going to use it as a kind of a challenge to be like, let's try to see how high we can get from here. And we'll play it that way. So we'll see how we go. Hectic says, I love your stream of mine. Can I get a follow on TikTok? Sorry, Hectic, I don't have TikTok, so I can't really help you there, sorry. but thank you for being in the stream, really appreciate it. Alright, I think we'll do 5 minutes of Q&A, and then I think we'll wrap up the stream there. But guys, if you did enjoy it, do please give it a thumbs up if you liked it. Everyone, I went early on Berber and didn't play Schuster. Yeah, that's that hurts. From Aaron, yeah, that's, look, there was a lot of bench points this week. A lot of people benched Bula, Taruva. I think if you managed to get one of those guys plus had other players do well for you, you would have had some good scores. Jedro says, highest score I've seen is 1608. I've seen a 1500 in Podmasters, but yeah, look, a 1600 doesn't surprise me just given how the week was. $12.12 for Mudcrab. You're at around 1800, but we'll go down. Yeah, so I think, look, it's kind of, it is what it is. This is the worst thing though, when you have these big swing weeks where people go like 1500, and if you're on the wrong end of it, like, it really hurts you, and it can be very hard to get back up. Steven says par around 1250. Yeah, that's kind of what I mentioned at the beginning of the stream. I'd say around the mid 1200s is probably about par. 1300 is probably good. If you've gotten 1400, you've had a cracking week. If you're like me with 1138, you're in the mud basically. Who would I bring in for Turbo? So I think with Turbo, I mean, look, Gutherson is an option. If you're looking, you could also look to get in just like a center wing fullback, like a dual player. So someone like a Garrick could be an option. Someone mentioned Lomax earlier. Now, Lomax obviously isn't a fullback, but he's potentially an option. I just need to remind myself of who are the teams that are actually playing in round 13. So we've got Rabbitohs, Raiders, Cowboys, Broncos, Dragons, Dolphins, and the Warriors. So if someone like an Asako, if he's available at fullback, he might be an option. Is Asako a dual? He is. So Asako is a center wing fullback. So I don't mind going the route of the center wing fullback because I think there's a lot of good ones there. So someone like an Asako who's got the Dragons in round 13 at home, that's one of the good matchups that you could maybe look to target. So I don't mind maybe an Asako. maybe you could go from the Broncos. Look, Reece Walsh, if Reece Walsh isn't in the Origin squad, he's still an option, because even though he didn't score great this week, we didn't actually speak about him earlier, but Reece Walsh, the signs were still there. He was close to scoring points. So I think Reece Walsh, when given the good matchups, I think he'll continue to score well. Just look, it's the Panthers matchup where they're the best defensive team in the comp. But the Broncos will have Warriors away isn't ideal, because Broncos will be without their Origin stars, but he will at least play that week and could be maybe an option. But he does miss round 16 and 19, which isn't fantastic, but maybe a Reece Walsh, maybe an Asako to cover that fullback, maybe a Drinkwater if you want the Cowboys player, maybe. Otherwise, who's the fullback for the... Well, yeah, Latrell, but Latrell won't be there. Blake Taff, anyone maybe? I'm not sure. There's a few options there for sure. Are we going to get 5 trades this week? No. So the way it will work is in the major bye weeks, so 13, 16, and 19, we will get 3 trades. But if you have a boost, you can get up to 4 trades. So I'll most likely be boosting, I think, next week and getting up to 4 trades. Because in terms of my round 13 numbers, if I just want to quickly show it, I'm not expecting Gilbert to be there anymore, given Origin. So I've got Tarpany, Schuster, Dury. Fingers crossed he gets a run out because of these injuries at the Eels, but I'm not confident. So let's exclude him for now. We'll say 2, Dillbags 3, Katoa 4, Marzu 5, Johnston 6, Gutherson 7, Garrick 8. So I think I'm going to be around 8 this week. So I actually don't think I'm going to get to 13 for next week, unless Dury somehow manages to get a spot. So I think the best that I can get to next week is 12, maybe 13. But hopefully if they're a good 12... Like if I add in like a Tohu, if I add a Cody, if I add like a Jeremy Marshall King and maybe like a cheapy downgrade who plays this week, that might be okay having 12, but I've got like good quality options. So that's hopefully what I'll be looking like for 13. I have Garrick and Asako, so don't know who I'm going to bring in for Turbo. I know Gutherson didn't have a good week, but Gutherson still is maybe an option. Like, it's the Cowboys at home in round 13. And remember, with the Eels, they don't lose a lot for Origin. They lose Junior Paulo, but Moses will be there, Dillbags will be there, Gutherson will be there, all the outside backs are still going to be there as well. So they're pretty unaffected by Origin in their spine, if you want to call it that. So I still don't mind going Gutherson in round 13 if you're looking to sell Turbo. Missing round 14 isn't ideal, but then in round 15, he does have the Bulldogs. So, yeah, I still think Gutherson is an option. This week, to me, this week felt like a bit more of an outlier. I don't think he's going to be getting that kind of lack of attacking stats, I guess, most weeks. Guys, also do please give the stream a like if you have enjoyed it. There's about 169 of you watching, which is amazing to see the great turnout. So hopefully you get 169 likes on the stream if you haven't liked it already. And look, if you haven't seen my pain yet at the beginning of the stream and you've joined a little bit later, I highly recommend going to the beginning of the stream later on. And if you like seeing people in pain and misery and whatnot and having a bit of a rant, that's me at the first 10 minutes of the stream. So if you like that, do go back and watch that. I recommend it. all right, we'll do a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up. Is Graham a buy if not an Origin? Yeah, definitely. If Campbell Graham isn't in the Origin team, he's probably, again, one of the much better options, I think, that you could go for this week. Dylan Edwards, a buy in round 14. 100%. Like, Dylan Edwards, I really like the look of him. Dragons in round 14 is great. Covers round 16 against the Cowboys. Like, it's a five-game run of Dragons, Roosters, Cowboys, Newcastle, Melbourne. Like, Panthers can easily score plenty of points in all of those games. So I like Dylan Edwards trade in round 14 as well. Oh no, he's done it again. Our friend Tom J has gifted 50 memberships. You must be watching the entire stream waiting for me to get to the wrap-up stage, and then you're just like, boom, I'm just going to hit him with 50 memberships just to make me stream for a little bit longer. Mud Crabs, yeah, lads, go hit that like button. It helps him out a lot, and he's always put in an effort for us. Let's at minimum give us an effort for his like, and a like for his effort. Thank you, Mud Crab. But shout out to Tom J. Again, just gifting membership after membership after membership. Tom J is back, the hype train. Any new members, hit there is a custom emoji for members, and it literally says, "Tom J has gifted me this." You've got to hit that emoticon. Steezer, did you get one? You got one. You've got one. So congrats to you, Steezers, and anyone else who's in the Tom J memberships lottery there. Yeah, really appreciate that. Yeah, give some love to Tom J in the chat as well, guys. The man is a... Tom J, wherever you are, message me on YouTube or anything. I need to get you on the channel at some point. Maybe at the end of the season, or maybe in a bye week. Maybe in the preseason next season. I don't know. You need to get on this channel somehow for the services that you have given us. All right, guys. I think on that really positive note, so we start the stream on a real negative note. We'll end it on a real positive. I think I'll wrap it up there at 7:30. Time for my dinner. Hopefully, you all enjoyed the stream. We'll catch you all again on Tuesday. Any questions, leave them in the comments of the stream below as well. But obviously, we're coming into the big buyer period week. So this is the time where we can hopefully look to gain rank and stuff. But hopefully, you all enjoyed tonight. Hope you had a good weekend, and I'll catch you all in the next one. See ya, and special shout out to Tom J. Thanks.